This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this radio show called Eudaimonia. You know that here we try to improve your lifestyle if we can, just with small changes. And today is going to be a different episode because I thought that after weeks talking about all these six pillars, the nutrition, the exercise, sleeping well, socialize, having friends and family close to you, and being careful with tobacco, with alcohol, with all these things, I thought it was the moment to put everything together and try some real cases. Some of my patients I've seen in my clinic that, as you will see, they don't really come with just one thing, because this is the good part of being more like a lifestyle doctor, is that you don't really see just one part of the person. You try to put all the pieces together and understand what's going on with them. So today is going to be a bit different. I hope you enjoy, because it's going to be a bit more complex, because we are going to put a lot of information, but eventually you will see that everything has or makes sense, right? So as every day, I'm going to share this presentation with you. And today is not about theories or difficult concepts. It's more about telling the stories, talking about their stories, and see if you might feel that this is something that rings the bell for you, and is something that probably you have been dealing with for a while and you don't really know what's going on in your body. So maybe this four cases or these four patients have something similar to you, and you start understanding what's going on in your body. As I told you before, when you are, imagine that you see, for example, a gastroenterologist, that they are so focused on your digestive system that they don't really think about what's going on in the rest of your body. They don't really understand, or they don't care if you have also a headache or if you don't sleep well. They are so focused on your gut that the rest is like no unknown for them, basically. But when you talk with a general doctor or a doctor with a bit of experience in lifestyle, any detail is important, or every detail is important. So if your guts are not healthy, or you have problems to open your bowels, and then you have a headache, and then you have a rash on the skin, and you don't sleep well, all this information is useful. Sometimes we have to push patients to tell us all these symptoms, because they are also so focused on what's affecting them now, they don't realize how important the rest of the information is. So today is a little bit about this. So real scenarios, real cases that might sound probably familiar to you. And the question basically is, what to do when we are doing everything all right? No, what else to do if we follow social media influencers and we are doing everything they say? We eat perfectly clean, we do a lot of exercise, we try this supplement, we try the other supplement, and still feeling unwell. So today is about this. And the first case is a 34 years old female, in this case, with a really, really good job, successful, a lot of discipline. This type of people you see on the street say, you admire, no? This person, that he doesn't feel, he's not lazy at all. He wakes up early in the morning, it goes for a run, and then she has this perfect breakfast with a green smoothie, the eggs and the avocado, no a lot of sugar, no a lot of flours, no bread. And then she works long hours. And after that, she has time to go to the gym a little bit in the evening. So from outside, you might feel, yeah, this is like the perfect life. It's what the internet and social media is telling us to do. So you have to be have this discipline and wake up and go for a run and then work and then being productive and then you will see if you can sleep at night, no? So when I saw her, she told me basically, I'm super tired. I'm always exhausted. And when she told me all these things she was doing every day, I mean, I totally understand. So it was like, yeah, I completely agree with you that you must be exhausted. This is impossible to do every day. It's too much. But my question was, do you feel mentally exhausted, or is more physically? Is more your body? Is more your brain? And here was the problem that she didn't know. She couldn't tell me if the problem was more the body or it was more the brain or the mind. Because when you are in such a habit that you do all these things every day, for your brain, this is normality. This is basically normality. I've seen a lot of people saying, I don't like doing exercise. I don't feel like doing exercise, not this type of person. But I tell them, please, just try to walk. Don't do high intense exercise, but just try to walk every day. 15, 20 minutes. Just across your neighborhood. Do it for a month and then try to stop one day and you will feel what your brain is telling you. Say, your brain after a month feels or thinks that this is a new habit. So if one day you don't go, you're going to feel, or your brain is going to tell you, what's going on? We should go for a walk because this is what we do every day. So these habits take time, but once you do it every day, your brain feels that it's the new normality. So going out and run before working and then gym after that is the new normality for your body. Your body is just getting adjusted to this. If you do it once in a while, you're going to feel super tired and you know this is not for me. But if you do it every day, it's normal. So when you ask somebody, is more mental or physical? Say, I don't know, because for me this is normal and for your brain is normal. But when we go a bit deeper and I ask her, how do you sleep, which is another of these big pillars, how do you sleep? She told me, I wake up every day about 3 a.m. and apart from eating well, no, I'm always hungry as well. But this waking up in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m., if you were here when we talk about vagus nerve, we talk about how to sleep better, you know that waking up at 3 a.m. means that the cortisol, which is the hormone of stress, has the spike too early. Should be about 6, more or less. 6 a.m. with the sunrise. But for some people who are really, really active or stressed or anxious, normally they have this spike of cortisol too soon. So they wake up at 3 a.m. feeling tired, but difficult to fall asleep again. So they have like a light sleep all the time, which is not enough for the body to repair. So when we see somebody like this, that they can't sleep, they are doing everything perfect, and they feel super, super tired, sometimes the answer, if we are in a hurry, I'm talking about doctors, if we are in a hurry, say, okay, you are stressed, you can't sleep because you are stressed, you have a lot of anxiety probably, or maybe you are depressed. But in my case, as I love this kind of puzzles, because it has a lot to do with what I was talking to you about, the lifestyle medicine, I try to go always deeper and say, okay, let's gonna see how you eat, because it's another pillar. Let's gonna see the exercise you do in reality. And we'll see if the sleep I'm feeling so tired has to do with the rest of the pillars here, with the exercise and the nutrition. And yeah, there are more things, obviously. So as she was always a bit in a hurry, so running and then working, sometimes she skips breakfast, which means that this cortisol, this stress, is the level of cortisol even higher. If your level of cortisol, you don't feel hungry, it's just like a natural mechanism. If the level of cortisol is that high, your body feels that you are in danger. So if you are in danger, it's not the moment to stop and have something to eat. So you will eat later, probably. You will feel hungry later, but not in the morning or not if the cortisol is high. Apart from running, she was doing like a late night training. It was a bit high, like high intense exercise, which means that, again, a lot of adrenaline there. If you are so active too late at night, difficult to release this melatonin. You have more serotonin, so your body is super active. You feel like you can do anything, but not enough melatonin. So she was basically sabotaging, no, her melatonin release in this case. So remember, exercise is great. Not the same exercise is good for everybody. Some people need just to walk. Some people need something more intense. It depends on your age as well. But she was doing something that instead of helping her was doing basically the opposite. Not releasing melatonin means that you are not going to sleep well. And apart from that, her diet was really low in protein. So low in protein means difficult to sleep as well, because there is not enough nutrients, and difficult to fix injuries and problems. When you are doing so much exercise, even though you don't feel injured, there is a lot of muscle damage during the day, and we need this protein to build new muscles and fix the problems. The same as we need to sleep well all together. High protein diet and sleeping well. And as she was always in a hurry, she didn't have time to have a proper meal, so it was more like healthy snacks. So a bit of a chaos, no? It looks like everything is perfect, but when you go deeper, you feel that maybe she's not doing everything right. So the strategy, instead of putting more things and telling her you have to take these pills and that pill, or you have to do more exercise, obviously no, or eat even better, impossible, if you don't go deeper and you know the details. What I told her basically is, let's gonna change the way you do things. So let's gonna calm down your metabolism. Let's gonna calm down your brain and your body a little bit and see if everything gets regulated again. So remember I told you, the body feels that if you do exercise every day, this is your reality. This is a habit. This is your reality. If you don't do exercise, never, this is your reality, this is your habit. So in her case, we had to change the habit a little bit. Instead of running every day, I told her, let's gonna do 10, 15 minutes of sunlight in the morning, and then you go for a walk if you want. So this helps us to regulate this cortisol. So day, a lot of light. Night, darkness. So day, light means serotonin. Night, darkness means melatonin, which is what you want to start sleeping. So a bit of light in the morning. Let's gonna go for a walk, not running, just something calmer. A good breakfast with a lot of protein and good fats, just to keep your sugar level more like in a good range. Instead of snacking all the time, just a couple of meals or two, three meals, whole meals with carbohydrates, good fats and proteins, high quality proteins, and maybe less intensity, but more rhythm. Like continue doing exercise, but not sure, like a short period of time of high intense exercise. So it's more rhythm, less intensity, basically. This is going to help to reduce the cortisol, and this is going to help to increase the melatonin. So sometimes people who look really, really healthy, and maybe this girl in another situation would go home, would have gone home with a sleeping tablet or something for depression, which probably make things even worse. But in this case, we had a time to talk a bit deeper and understand the reality of this situation. So when you are tired, it's not because you don't have the discipline or because you are not doing everything perfect, which you know that we are not looking for perfection. It's that maybe you are doing too much in this case. Too much exercise, too much discipline, but not enough of basically taking care of yourself with giving yourself time to have a proper meal and then just go for a walk. You don't need to be so strict and intense with your exercise sometimes. Good. So let's move to the second case. Why this is a bit different, but it has some common points, obviously. This is a man in his 50s. And I remember him because the first sentence he told me, I've never seen him before. So, and she told me, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I can't stop eating. And for when you're a doctor and somebody tells you something like this and it's the first time, say, okay, let's gonna see what's going on, because it's not a normal sentence. No, it's not like a normal symptom. So we went through all the pillars again as with the previous one. And he told me, I'm a hard worker, physical job, always moving. And I don't know what happened at night, evening at night, that I can't stop eating. I don't eat a lot during the day, but at night I can eat almost everything. I can't stop. And most of the times I need things really, really tasty, like sweet things or things with a lot of fat, like takeaways or ready-to-eat meals, things like that. No. And the question was, his question was basically, do you think I have like an eating disorder, something like this? And no, obviously, no. Even though he was a bit overweight, but I told him the problem is a bit more complex than just an issue with yourself or with you being hungry all the time. It's more complex like that. But don't worry that we're gonna go through all the details together. So when I was talking with him again, let's gonna check your nutrition. It's gonna check your exercise. It's gonna see how you sleep. Everything, no, as always. And same as the previous one, he skips breakfast because he is so in a hurry that he doesn't have time for breakfast. And sometimes because he was so full from the night before that he didn't feel like eating anything. Just a quick sandwich at lunch and then a snack all the afternoon. And then the night is when something happens that, say, I'm not hungry during the day. I can just go with a couple of snacks and a sandwich, but at night I feel that I can't stop. So what happened here? So it's not basically that this man was eating too much. It's more that the body has needs. And if you are stressed, it's like the body gives you a break. So, yeah, don't worry. You are stressed. Just do as best as you can, but I'm not going to force you to eat more things. But as soon as he gets a bit calmer and relaxed being at home, is then when the body asks him for all the nutrients. All the nutrients. And it's because the body is not getting everything it needs. It's like more a biological reaction. It's not like a mental thing. It's not an eating disorder. It's not a mental health issue. It's just something that is natural. It's the body asking for what you need, basically. So the treatment, again, instead of putting pills and forcing him to do very strange things, I ask him to obviously collaborate, because at the beginning it's a bit complex to change these habits. But basically it was, let's go with more protein in your breakfast. So even though you don't feel hungry now, I'm going to ask you to put some protein in your breakfast. Something was going with his sleep, in this man in particular, because eating too much sugar at night, you know now that changes your hormones and makes you have a really, really bad sleep. So he was doing this. And apart from that, as he didn't get this, we call dopamine spikes. A dopamine spike is when you, during the day, you feel that you are doing things that you enjoy. You get a tiny spike of dopamine. If you're hungry and you move, and the purpose is to get some food, is because you get a tiny spike of dopamine that makes you want to move and go to the shop or go to the restaurant or go to the kitchen and cook something. So the body needs these tiny spikes of dopamine. What happened when somebody's, as this man, not eating basically anything nutritious during the day? And with a bit of stress as well, having a lot of cortisol in the blood, this dopamine drops a lot. So we have high cortisol and really, really low dopamine, really low dopamine. So to get this spike of dopamine that make us feel happy, that make us feel that we are doing something good for us, we need tasty food or alcohol or drugs or things like this. Very, very intense inputs. It's not, we don't really feel happy if we get something that is not too high in sugar or too high in fat. And this is one of the problems we have in nowadays, because food being so, so intense. But when the cortisol in your body is high because you are under stress and you wonder, why when I'm stressed, my body is only asking for something so sweet or things like chips with a lot of fat and salt, it's because your body is asking for dopamine, basically. Because dopamine makes us feel better. So when you are stressed, the body wants to feel a bit better, and dopamine is the hormone we need. Things like walking, things like spending time with friends and family, things like music or reading a good book or watching a good movie, the same. We get dopamine from all these activities. The problem is that the food industry knows that we need this dopamine, and the products are so intense that the spike of dopamine we get from these products is higher than anything, basically, we can do, like, in a natural way. So it's difficult. I know it's difficult, but you need to know that it's your brain asking for a bit of happiness, a bit of joy. So try to do things that you enjoy doing instead of looking for, like, a shortcut. So this man, I asked him to increase the protein in the morning. So we're going to start regulating the hormones, and being careful with processed carbs just to reduce these unhealthy dopamine spikes and to reduce also stress. So more protein, being careful with liquid sugar. Liquid sugar is basically soft drinks, coffees with flavors, and more milk than coffee, for example. And if we try to eat less at night with less sugar, he started sleeping better, basically. And the same as the previous patient, tried to eat less times or fewer times, but whole meals. So good breakfast, good lunch, good dinner, less snacks. And if you want a snack, the snack should be high in protein. So things like, if you like fruit with a bit of yogurt or nuts or a protein shake with high quality protein, it's better than anything that is sweet, because it's going to make you feel okay for a short period of time, and then you will have a drop and feel unwell again. So let's go with the third episode. But before, I'm just going to do a really short break just to drink a little bit of water. So remember, sometimes it seems that we are doing everything okay, but if you go deeper and ask the questions you have to ask, even yourself, you can ask that question, you find that, yeah, there is something that I'm not doing right. And it's a vicious circle, it's true. So there is a moment that we have to break this cycle. You choose the moment and you choose the place. Could be starting with your sleep. We can start with the exercise. We can start with the food, whatever is easier for you. But when there are more than one things affecting your health, there is a moment that we have to decide in which point we want to act. Because acting at the same time, or trying to be focused on all of them at the same time is difficult, it's tiring, and it's too demanding sometimes for the patient. So don't worry, it's a long process, but it's not impossible to change. Remember that the body is a animal of habits. So it takes time to change something, but it's not impossible. So take a break. I'll see you in a couple of minutes. I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down?
Till you die, but after.
Okay, so after the break, let's gonna continue with the third case. This is a little bit different. So it has to do with something we talked last week. I don't know if you were here. You can see the program, watch the program on the website. It's about the microbiome. Do you remember microbiome? All these bacterias, microorganisms basically living with us in our guts. They are everywhere. But the part of the body that's been more studied is the guts. So this case has something to do with this disbalance. It's called disbalance when the bacteria that are living with us, they are not in good proportion, basically. There are families of bacteria growing more than the other ones, so they are fighting for the food, fighting for the place, and this fight or the disbalance make us have symptoms most of the times. So this lady was in her 30s, very smart and functional and productive, the same as the first lady, working in a good company, good salaries. The problem she had is that every time she eats, or even without eating, she needed to go to the toilet. So her life was basically all the time based on where the toilet is. And imagine living like this for about 10 years, more or less. So we did a lot of tests, and every test was basically normal. And I want to do like a break here. And when we order tests, for example, this lady who had a gut issue, when we order tests, if it's a blood test, for example, most of the times we are checking if the organ is okay. We check if the liver is okay, if the pancreas, if there is any sign of inflammation or infection, basically. But it's difficult to have tests to check the function. We check more how they are, but not the function. The function is basically based on the symptoms. So if you have diarrhea for 10 years, and as this lady, she had a lot of endoscopies done, like colonoscopies, gastroscopies, and these endoscopies are very useful to see the organ from inside, to see if there is something that needs to be removed, if there is something growing, but not for the function of the gut in this case. So just remember this, that sometimes the tests are normal. It doesn't mean that there is not a problem with the function, with the movement, how the guts absorb or don't absorb nutrients. There is no test for this, apart from your symptoms. So I'm going to close this break. So she told me that she was eating very healthy, because normally these people who are really smart and productive and they have like a good job, they like doing their own research. So she knew a lot about nutrition, about what things are good and bad for the body. So she told me, I normally do oats for breakfast and always whole grains and a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. My meals are basically salads and veggies at night as well with good protein. So, and I thought, okay, yeah, you are eating pretty well. So, or maybe too much sometimes. And what I realized is that she was following this general information everybody normally follows, that as much fiber, the better. As you should eat a lot of green stuff, you should eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and all these things, which is normally okay, but this is more if your diet is really unhealthy, you want to move to more like a plant-based diet for a while. But then you have to listen to your body and listen to your guts. If every time you eat something you feel unwell or you feel bloated, maybe it's because what you are eating is not the best for you, or the best nutrient for you. Or maybe because your guts, for whatever reason, are in this, your microbiome is in this dysbiosis type of moment, that they are not in balance. So whatever you eat is going to affect the absorption and how your bacteria are going to react. So what I realized is that she was taking a lot of what we call fermentable carbohydrates, which is normally healthy for a lot of people, but for her in this case was too much, because it was too much. So for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a lot of these carbohydrates that the body is going to ferment. And if you don't have a really healthy microbiome, you're going to feel unwell. And the symptoms are basically a lot of gas, bloating, diarrhea. And then we realized that, as you know, if you were here last week, the guts are like the second brain. Some people say this is the first brain. There is a dysregulation here. There is a dysregulation. So if your guts are unhealthy, you're going to send a signal to your brain, say, something is going on. Don't put food inside because something is bad here. And then the brain is going to send a message to the guts. Okay, I know that we are under stress. So it's sending even more stress to the guts. So it's like, again, like a vicious cycle. From gut to brain, from brain to guts. And this is what the name is, basically gut-brain axis dysregulation. This is going to move us to a chronic stress, because who is not going to be stressed if you have to go to the toilet every meal or more than 3-4 times every day? So what we did basically is, okay, let's going to stop all these things that, even though they are healthy, something is going on in your guts that you are not accepting then. So let's going to reduce these fermentable foods. There is a diet called low FODMAP diet, basically, which is try to reduce everything that can be easily fermented. At the same time, as the guts were under stress, because obviously the microbiome wasn't healthy, we use strategies to calm down the nervous system with all these vagus nerve these vagus nerve techniques that probably you already know. better meals. So timing is important when you have problems in your gut. Structure is also important. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you don't feel like eating, it's even better just two meals, like something, whole meals, like brunch, and then early dinner. Sometimes it's enough. And some help with probiotics and healthy prebiotics to repair the guts. This takes a lot of time, because to change the microbiome, remember that the guts are endless. They are like 6 meters of guts. So it's so long that to repair and change the microbiome takes time. But in a couple of weeks, she started feeling a bit different, like a bit better. So, and this is what we want, because this is giving us the signal that, yeah, you are in the right way. It's now a matter of time. And obviously it's normal to have like relapse, but this was the normal track. Does this mean that she's not going to take green stuff and vegetables and fruits for the rest of her life? The answer is no. She's going to eat all of them again, but probably she was taking too much. So remember when we say, go with green stuff, with fruit and vegetables, this is general information, and it's because they are super, super healthy and high in a lot of vitamins and nutrients. But sometimes our guts are telling us, please stop or change or ask somebody, because we are not okay. All right? And the last case, the last story, it's again a female in her 30s. Similar idea, going to the gym, eating clean. She looks healthy, but she told me, yeah, I'm doing everything right, everything perfect, but I feel like I'm in my 80s. So I'm always tired. I go to the gym because I have to go. I push myself, but I feel tired every time I go. I eat clean because I like eating clean. The same is a habit. You don't eat clean because you wake up one day and say, I'm going to eat clean. This is a habit. You tell your brain and your body, this is what I eat, and this is why it makes me feel better. And your brain understands and asks you for this. So this is why some people eat better than others, because it's more like a habit. So what I ask her is more like, again, it's more like mentally, it's more physically, what's going on? Because again, when it's a habit and it's been so long, it's difficult. And in her case, she was more like, I think it's more mental, because I'm tired, but my brain is foggy all the time. And I think I'm doing everything right, but obviously something is not okay. So we spent a couple of consultations talking about this. She had eventually we discovered she had a PCOS, which is a disease with a lot of cyst in the ovaries normally, and this imply having something called insulin resistance. So you don't need to be obese or overweight to have this insulin resistance. And what happened with the insulin resistance? So the body has problems to deal with sugar and with the spikes of sugar. So the body feels more inflamed and normally more tired. And this brain fog, it has most of the time something to do with insulin resistance, problems to deal with sugar. She also was doing, again, a low protein and low fat intake. A lot of people who want to be healthy, they feel like eating fat is unhealthy, because all this idea we have from the 80s and the 70s, and we know now that is not true. You have to choose the good fats, but low protein, low fat intake, gut dysfunction, again, problems with the microbiome. And if you have problems to deal with sugar and you don't get enough fat, your mitochondria, which are like the power plant, don't have anything to get, anything to eat, so that they can get energy. It's difficult to get energy from protein, but we need fats, good fats, and we need good carbohydrates to get the energy. So what we did again, instead of adding pills like sleeping tablets or antidepressants, thinking that this is more like a depression or more anxiety, we try to go with more in a natural way. So more protein, more fat. If you have foggy brain, your body is tired, you feel tired and painful sometimes, like muscle pain, joint pains, your body is asking for fat, good fats. Remember, olive oil, avocado, nuts, the fat from fish like salmon or tuna, things like that. No fat from fried things, takeaways, unhealthy oils. But if your body is tired, foggy brain, all these things, it's because you need more fat. You need more fat and normally more protein as well. And they go together. In this case, in the case of this patient, she had a hormonal problem. Fat is essential. So low testosterone sometimes is lack of good fats. Low estrogens in women, problems not eating enough fat. And it's because sometimes we are scared of eating fat. We think we're going to gain weight, and it's not true. You gain weight if you eat a lot, but not if you have like a normal portion. But fats are essential. We refocus the exercise. Instead of doing always cardio, I ask her to try to do more lifting weights, because more muscle, easier to use the glucose, and we are going to reverse the insulin resistance, just increasing muscle mass. Increasing muscle mass doesn't need increasing weight, and doesn't mean being like a big person. It's very difficult to get a lot of muscle unless you use supplements or things more illegal, basically. So instead of doing a lot of cardio, which is basically draining your muscles, let's gonna try to build muscles. Less snacks again, and more structured meals. More lunch, breakfast, dinner, less snacks in the day, 2 good meals is enough. And with this case in particular, I asked her to go with some probiotics to improve the gut microbiome, and all this fermented food that we can find at the supermarket, like kefir, or kombucha, or kimchi, things like that, or good yogurt. All these fermented foods that are natural and help to increase the variety and the balance in the microbiome. So as you can see, sometimes it's not taking medication. We can use medication when it's needed. For example, with this lady, we could just, sometimes we use a contraception like hormone replacement or things to sleep a bit better or something for the nauseas or any medication. And it's not bad. Sometimes we need to treat the problem before talking deeper, because the person needs time to understand the real problem, no? And I'm not against using medication. It's just that with this approach, you get more benefits in a long term. Just using medication, probably you will get some benefits in a short term. But if you don't go through all of this in a couple of months, all these patients would be the same. Okay. Feeling unwell again and looking for or asking for more medication. So in all these 4 cases, at the end of the day, the body was always communicating, saying something, trying to tell you something. So being super tired, or these cravings this man had at night. Gut symptoms, being tired, fatigue. It's not that they were not doing everything perfect. It's more like a signal that something is not right. And after a period of time, the only way the body has to tell you, please stop and listen to me, is with symptoms. Sometimes it's a headache, sometimes it's a lower back pain, sometimes it's a diarrhea. But all of there are just signals, symptoms that please check what's going on because something is not right. And the most difficult thing nowadays is to stop 5 minutes, 10 minutes and listen to your body because we are always in a hurry, unfortunately. So if you feel that you are one of these, similar to these patients, that you are having something like this, that you are doing everything perfect, that you are going, you run in the morning, perfect breakfast, and then gym at night, it's not that you are failing or something like this. It's just your body is so adapted that maybe you don't know what you are doing wrong, basically. And the body needs to survive. And if your life is stressful, it's going to get adapt to the stressful and the habits and the environment. So sometimes the question is not what I should do more. It's more about, okay, what can I do to reduce all this stress and to be probably less strict in my life? Or what is my body trying to tell me? Basically, more than I am sick or do I have this or this disease or the other disease, it's more what is my body trying to tell me. So be careful when your life is pushing too much that you don't want to push even more. If you feel like probably going for a run is too much because your schedule is super tight and you are fully booked all the time, just go for a walk, have this sunlight in the morning and darkness at night, but just go for a walk. You need to be active. You need to move. If it's not running because you think it's putting too much pressure in a body that is already under stress, just go for a walk. And don't try not to ignore the signals, because the signals are there for something. Remember that the body is going to try always to tell you, even if you are perfectly, you will feel it, that you sleep really well, you are not concerned about anything, it's just happy life. So don't ignore your symptoms. Okay? And if you don't listen, unfortunately, your body will find a way to hide all the symptoms in a way or other. It doesn't mean that this is what we want, because eventually you will have major problems. All right? So if this is not your case, perfect. But if it's your case, don't worry that we have options here. We have options to help you, and I hope with this episodes, with these ideas, you are trying to improve your life a little bit better. Try not to do things always at the same time because it's difficult. Just choose one thing that is really bothering you and try to improve it. If I were you, probably exercise would be one of the first things I would do and try to sleep better. And then slowly improve your diet, try to meet your friends and family from time to time, and that's all. Basically, this is the key of being more than healthy, to have like a fulfilled life, basically. So next week is a bank holiday, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks with more topics like this. And remember, we're not looking for perfection, just to have a healthy lifestyle. So enjoy the rest of the week. I'll see you soon.
to life. He was warm, he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that man I adored. You don't seem to know, you seem to care.